Save big on all your Halloween needs,
all in the Kroger app.
Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, welcome to Fitz Dog Radio. My guest today is the great TJ Miller, who's been on the show many times. Truly one of the best podcast guests you can interview. So fast, so funny, so silly. We had a blast. So hang out and listen to that in a bit. In the meantime, I've been playing the bongos. I don't know if I told you guys 2 weeks ago on the podcast. Me and the wife were walking past a drum circle in Marina Del Rey, and they said, "You guys want to join in?" I looked at the wife. She said no, and I didn't fight it. I didn't say no. We're playing the fucking bongos. And all day, all I kept thinking about is I didn't play the bongos. And so I decided that that's my mantra. I'm going to play the bongos. So that week I went to the Dodgers-Mets game. I went to the Clippers game. I went on a major hike. I did a bunch of shit. And then this, oh, and then I was in Tulsa. I went to the Bob Dylan Museum. I went to this studio. Anyway, and then this, I was in Kansas City this week. I did a bunch of shit. And then Sunday I got back, took some mushrooms, had a 3-hour putting contest against, it was Fitzsimmons, Fitzgibbons, Gibbons, and Gubbins. And we all putted at Penmar. For like 3 hours during the it was a baseball game and the Jets game. Had a blast. I won, which felt fucking good. Won $15. All right. Anyway, shout out to Rogan and Theo Vaughn, who they just did a podcast, and they just threw me a love fest talking about how much they love me and what a good guy I am. And Rogan was talking about how much he loves my laugh and talking about the old days when we started out. We used to have so much fucking fun. When we started in stand-up, there was like two camps of comics in Boston. There was the guys that were esoteric and smart and clever. And I respected the shit out of them. Guys like Dave Cross and Mark Maron. And although Maron played the mainstream clubs and he did the alternative clubs. But I think I sort of sided a little. I did both clubs, but I sided more with the like down and dirty club scene. And me and Rogan used to go out, and we'd go to a clam shack in Cranston, Rhode Island, on a Tuesday night. Big haired girls and Guido guys and a shitty sound system, and we would just go up and just try to shock. And we just cracked each other up, and then we drive an hour and a half home together laughing about it. And we did that for years, and just so many great memories. And so, yes, that was nice. That was a nice little clip somebody sent me of them talking about me. I want to get right to the interview today because it was a fun one. And, but I also want to talk about my bookie, because support for Fitz Dog Radio comes from my bookie. Look, there's a lot of sites you can play sports and bet with, but my bookie, I have so much fun with them. They are there's no bullshit. It's just straight up action. They give you an edge. If you love to win at football, which I do, I've been on fire because I just bet underdogs. Here's a little tip from Fitz Dog Radio. Bet the underdog. They're cleaning up this year. Everybody's suicide pools are over. Everybody's been knocked out because if you lose one game in a suicide pool, you're out. And I won my pool last year and I got knocked out about three games in this year. Everybody did. It's an exciting year to play, and my bookie is a great way to do it. They've got this thing where if you use promo code FITZ, FITZ, they'll double your bankroll. 100% deposit bonus. So it just makes it easier to win. And they've got a new loyalty rewards program. You can earn extra cash just for playing a lot. No strings attached. So, look, I mean, big offenses are winning this year. That's another tip. Everybody's running. The running teams are winning. The scrambling quarterbacks are winning. So they've got this risk-free Thursday. So find out about that where you can't lose. When you're ready to get started, use my promo code FITZ, F-I-T-Z. Claim a bonus that doubles your money on your very first deposit. You heard that right. Double your money with promo code FITZ. That's F-I-T-Z. Before you even place a bet, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. You could be waiting online at the pharmacy. You could be at your job. Maybe you got one of those jobs where you got a little downtime. And you can research. You can have some fun. You can play anything. The sports book, it gives you control and rewards you for every moment of play. Get involved. Also get involved in seeing me live. I'm going to be in Helium in Philadelphia, November 7th to the 9th. That's going to sell out. Get your tickets in advance at fitzdog.com. Also coming to this November, Tacoma and Tempe. December, I'll be in San Francisco and Cleveland. January, I'll be in Atlanta and Janesville, Wisconsin, and Nyack, New York, and Raleigh, North Carolina, and Milwaukee. Big January. Also, Vegas, Hollywood, Pittsburgh. Go to fitzdog.com. Get some tickets. Also, if you have not seen You Know Me, I can't imagine any of you haven't seen it, but if you have not, we're at 420,000 views. It's on YouTube. It's free. If you can, subscribe. That helps a lot. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Check it out. If you've already seen it, cue it up, hit play, and then go do the dishes. Get me another count. I want to get a million. I'm going for a million this year. So get a part of it. Welcome to the podcast. What does that mean? What language is that? Podcast. TJ Miller just showed up.
Place?
He's wearing some kind of hip hop feeling thing. That's awful lot of cough syrup. What?
That's a awful lot of cough syrup. And a great story about this.
All right, here we go. That's how we start a podcast, with a story. And it was a story in the middle. We just think. Yeah.
I wish there were more podcasts where people just kind of think about stuff next to each other, just silently, but sort of. Like, what's a time that you've said something racist, and after saying it, you're like, I was pretty right on with that. Let's just think about that.
I was in New Bedford.
I didn't want to hear it.
No.
I have my own podcast called Thinking on It. But I was sued by George Wallace, who I couldn't remember his name for a second.
The politician or the comedian?
The comedian.
Yeah.
I had a moment last night that was sort of accidentally. You know, I have a traumatic brain injury, a TBI, we'll call him, in our circle.
Yep.
And I had a friend with me at the show last night, the Laugh Factory, and George Wallace went up.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. It was a stacked lineup. Tiffany Haddish went up.
Uh-huh.
George Wallace went up. I was there. And it was pretty fun because George Wallace just killed.
Yeah.
My friend, I said, have you ever seen him? And she's like, no. What's his name? And I just had one of those moments where I could not remember his name. I love the guy. Right, I know him. I've gone to his show in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
There's certain things people tell you and you remember them always.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that he told me was, he said, well, I rent the theater. So I keep he kind of implied, like, I got to a place where I own the theater.
Yeah.
So I decide the terms of the tickets, the ticket sales, what my cut is, which I'm sure is 100%. And that, for whatever reason, stuck in my mind. The one that is you is, I always think about this when I think about you.
Yeah.
And it was when you said, women are less than people. And I said, than men? And you said, no, than anything.
Well, that's the way I was able to get
you
my...
You just got Fitz
You
dogged.
Got Fitz dogged! I knew you were going to beat me to a Fitz dog.
I came in early, yeah. And I came in dogging it.
You came in dog. Now, let me ask you
I'll
something.
I'll tell you what it really
and
was.
I mean to ask a lot of my guests this. What is it like when you're on your way here? How does it feel knowing you're going to get Fitz dogged?
You ask a lot. You ask almost every single one here.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. I think it's something that I... You know how they say, well, it was nothing to write home about. Getting Fitz dog is something to write home about.
Right.
Longhand.
Longhand. Yellow legal not electronic pad. Yes. Lick the stamp. And then you go, wait, why am I licking this? And it has gum on it.
I send the entire legal pad.
Yes.
I put that in a manila envelope and I sent it. No, you know what I think about when I think about you? Is you told me about social media. You said, it feels like it's everything you can do to reply. To reply to everyone takes such a big chunk out of your day. And I never thought about that. And sometimes when I go and I reply to comments, I think about you.
Yeah.
Fondly.
Well, can you guys keep it down
fondling.
A little bit?
Or bring it up a little
or
bit.
Or bring it
people,
up, either up or
people,
down.
People want to know, like, how unprofessional is the greenlabtv.com?
Thank you. Yeah.
I heard they're not very loud when they care.
Well, it's like my friend when we play golf. That's exactly what he says. Either talk louder or don't talk. But it's that in between that kills you.
It's a pretty strong flex to tell everybody that you play golf.
Yeah.
How often do you play?
Every Friday morning I've played my whole life, but we've got a standing game for 15 years every Friday morning. You want to know what the foursome is? And I'm not making this up.
Hold on. Let me try and
care. Okay, try and guess.
Let me try and care.
Okay.
Let's see if I can care. Okay, I got it.
I got it.
I care.
You found it.
Who is the foursome?
Okay, Fitzsimmons.
There it is.
That's Fitzgibbons. Gibbons and Gubbins. I'm not making that up. They love it. You know, at the starter thing, they have a big speaker because everybody's waiting to play, and they announce the next group. And he always does it in that order because he knows it flows. Yeah. Fitzsimmons, Fitzgibbons, Gibbons, and Gubbins. He says the Irish Mafia is now on the tee. Yeah.
Oh my God! It sounds like a really bad law firm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds more like the cops that the law firm is prosecuting on your behalf.
Yeah, Fitzsimmons. What is it again?
Fitzsimmons, Fitzgibbons.
Fitzsimmons, Fitzgibbons.
Gibbons.
Gubbins and...
Gibbons and Gubbins.
And Godfrey.
Yeah, and Godfrey.
Godfrey the
Who,
comedian.
By the way, most underrated comedian in America.
I don't like saying that anymore. I like saying... Because people come to me all the time and go, oh, I love this movie that you were in. It's the most underrated. Everybody likes the movie.
Yeah.
It's the most underseen film. Not underrated.
Yeah.
Underseen. I think Godfrey, anybody who's seen him, they can't believe how funny he is.
Yeah.
I got really high and there was like a party. It must have been a holiday party or something at the Comedy Cellar. And I play the Cellar, but it's not really my like hangout scene thing. That's more the Stand. But I went in there and I got sort of stoned and he was sitting at the special table, you know, and I walked in, I saw everybody talking and interacting with each other and all the sort of social stratospheres, the status anxiety that's always permeating or percolating within that sort of world.
Yeah.
And it was such a funny moment. I sat down next to him and I was like, hey, Godfrey, are you doing great? And he's having a little bit of his food and he likes me. We have a lot of fun together. And he, I'm talking to him and I just go, I get it now. I get it. This is like a jungle, you know? It's like its own kingdom. You are the king. And so you're sitting here, you're eating your food, and these are all sort of the lesser subjects. And that's why you close every show, because nobody can follow you.
Yeah.
And so you are the king.
Right.
And there was people before you, and there was, you know, and Dave Attell is his own type of, you know, king. And, but I kind of said, now I understand it.
Right.
And it was so funny because, and I do this with a lot of people, because he kind of wanted to be like, what are you talking about? But he loved that I was saying that.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg's really like that, where I sort of say, you know, you know, one time he was like, oh, here he goes, TJ again. He goes, after a little bit of wine, then the jokes start coming about me. And I go, of course, Mark.
Yeah.
Because you're a king and I'm a jester.
Yeah.
And the jester's responsibility is to make fun of the king.
Right.
And he was like, I could see him being like, ah! Not only is he right, I love that he thinks I'm a king. So good. But he's the absolute best. And then the other person that likes doing that is Michael Bay. Strangely, out of the blue, Michael Bay called me yesterday.
You showed me the screenshot.
Yeah, and then we probably better cut that out.
Okay.
But it was very funny. Okay. But we really do it though. And do it. And so, I'm serious. Okay.
Wait a minute. Now we don't know.
And that's TJ, that's are why you? You should take it out.
Right.
And so I'm on the phone with him, and he's just so funny because he also loves when I'll make fun of him a little bit, and he'll laugh, and I'll be like, well, I can do that because you're the most powerful director in the world. You're one of the top five grossing directors in the world of all time in history, in cinema's history. And he's like, no. But you can tell that he's like, I am. And he is.
And you're the court jester. Here's the thing about court jester. It was the original comedian. Before any Borscht Belt, Catskill, Cabaret, there was the court jester, which that was a high stakes stand-up comedy gigs.
Well, and you're right, because comedy was invented by Aristophanes in Greece, but that was not stand-up at no point. That was always theater.
It was a genre.
And it was actually meant to sort of make fun of drama. And it was satire, but the only reason people wanted to see it was because it was kind of the counterbalance. You would sort of go, God, these tragedies are really getting to be a lot. Let's go. Aristophanes is doing his, so we should go and we should do that, cleanse the palate and kind of be able to laugh at how heavy the drama stuff is.
Yeah.
But but the court jester really was the first that was sort of, so I looked up because I love the history of comedy. So I look, yes, but you're right, high stakes. If you say the wrong thing, then they'll just kill you.
You die. Yeah.
But it's really hard to find people of that intelligence, that quickness, and that sort of bravery. So you wouldn't just, a king wouldn't impetuously, take him outside and kill him. And the more he let it roll, the more people respected the king. But then, Greg.
Yeah.
Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
Fitz Dog, they call you in my circles. My wife, my mother.
That's your circle? Three people? That's
just
a triangle.
My mother.
Yeah.
My wife.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
McGubbins. McGibbies. Fitzonans. Harbibbins.
That sounds racist. Rich now that you say it like that, it feels like as an Irishman, I'm being mocked.
Irish man or an Irish man?
I mean, look, the sweater, the hat, and all from Ireland this summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you really did get an Emmy.
4.
Oh, now you're bragging. So I just got Fitzdog.
You got Fitzdog.
I just got Fitzdog. Me. So then I look it up. I look up the court jester thing, and it's all real.
Yeah.
So I go into the and maybe we'll have my friend Baskin sort of settle this once and for all. But I go and I start researching it on Wikipedia and stuff. And it said that often the court jesters, there's really only one court jester, a very famous one who could rhyme and he could do songs. And he was just an absolute genius. You know, not unlike one of the people on this podcast.
Are you saying that cops are here?
They're here to prosecute you for pretending that sweater's from Ireland.
Oh.
And not the Beverly Center.
Wait, get back to the court jester, because it really was, when I look at stand-up comedy today and I see all the open mic. Now, you walk past the Comedy Cellar, there's 8 different other spaces handing out flyers to come see a comedian. It's so easy to get on stage. Fair, yeah. And if you bomb, who cares? Nobody's really even telling jokes. They're just getting up there and talking. But back then, if you wanted to get on that stage, you were taking your life into your hands.
Into your own hands.
Yes.
Well, The Grizzly Bear. I actually, it's hard to get any quality stage time in New York City.
Yeah.
What I understand from this very funny comedian, Alex Castain. And he, I'll talk to him and he'll say, actually, this is in New York. So I guess, you know, you're saying in New York. And, you know, both of these, him and then my friend David Angelo, who writes for The Daily Show. He's
yeah.
one of the main writers for The Daily Show. And this kid, Alex Cassidy, is like, I've got one thing in Brooklyn, but then it's all shitty open mics. And I only have two real shows this week or something. And then David Angelo, he's a bit of an Eeyore, is what my wife would say, because we all went to college together. But he's sort of, yeah, but he, I mean, he's a brilliant comedian. And he just, Esty used him for a little while and then stopped giving him spots. And he says he just can't get stage time at any of these other clubs.
Right.
The clubs won't put him up. And it's true that the Comic Strip Live, they don't need more. They only passed two comedians that they're like hot on in the last like year.
Yeah.
Both of them are very tall.
That's interesting because it's
Asian.
It's a,
and I'm
really?
Talking, I'm talking 6'7".
Jeremy tall. Lin is doing stand up at the Comic Strip.
Did I get pitstalked?
You just got pitstalked.
I got unknowingly pitstalked. Because I didn't know if that's a basketball player.
Or yeah, he's
I had no idea
yeah.
what that reference was. And that's when you've been fitstalked. I'm on the fritz with how much this fits is dogging
oh,
me.
Oh, you're the rhymer. I didn't know rhyme. When you said one of us can rhyme, I didn't know if it was me or you.
I never said that. Let's go to the tape. Yeah, I never said that.
You didn't say that.
So I looked it up on Wikipedia and everything.
Yeah.
It said that there was this one famous jester, and then the rest of them were like dwarves and mentally handicapped or challenged, however I'm supposed to say that and not get in trouble now.
So it was more like New York Comedy Club.
Congratulations. You're in Hollywood. So welcome to Hollywood.
By the way, I hate that I threw New York Comedy Club under the bus. I love that club. I couldn't think. It was the first club that popped into my mind.
What would it be, though?
It would be Dangerfields, maybe.
Change it to Rodney's. I think it would have been Stand Up New York.
Yeah.
But that guy, did you hear about that? That they made it, they did it, they like came together as a union and struck.
Who did? The staff?
All the staff, because he wasn't paying anybody. And then all the comedians chimed in and said, I haven't been paid for stuff that I've done a year ago.
No kidding.
And the story with him is, I think it's very interesting. This is all very public. I did his Jewish comedy festival.
You're Jewish.
It was, no, I'm a maybe Jew.
Okay.
Because my mother is adopted.
Oh.
So we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I went and I did the show. It was very fun. And I told the jokes about being a maybe Jew. And then he asked me to go to Miami. And at the festival, so it was in Coney Island or Brooklyn. It was so successful. And this, and you know, he paid us pretty well. And he said, we're going to make so much money together. And he's like, the next one's in Miami.
This is the owner of Stand Up New York.
Yeah. And he said, well, I'm going to, you know, we'll get this thing going in Miami. And then he came to me and he kind of offered me the same amount of money. And I was like, no, that's like in town. When
yeah.
I can be in my bed. If I'm going to Miami, if I'm doing this thing, if I have to forego other comedy club work, you know, you got to pay me more. And he was like, all right, let me talk it over. I'm like, well, you really have to. And he's the guy that would always be like, I don't want to talk to the agent. Let's just do it you and me, which is such a sly.
It's the worst. Yeah, that's the worst.
And I've gotten screwed over like a couple of times in the last couple of years with that. And so then he called me back later and I was like, hey, man, what's going on? Because my picture is on the website, you know? So what are we going to end up doing? He's like, remember what I told you before? I go, yeah. He goes, that's what I'm going to pay you. That's the only thing I'm going to pay you. I'm not going any higher than that. And I was like, well, then, I mean, you know, then this needs, you got to talk to my agent because it's just, it's got to be more than this.
Or, yeah.
He goes, okay, fine. If I'm, my agent kind of went to him and, you know, said, hey, it needs to be this and nothing less. He said, okay, okay. Turns out what he did was he used my picture and me in the lineup to sell tickets. And then
knowing he wasn't going to book you.
Exactly. And so then
the old bait and switch.
It is literally the old bait and switch.
And then Paul Mercurio shows up.
And then, yeah. And then it makes me look like such an
asshole.
Yeah. Because then he goes, well, TJ was supposed to show up, but he didn't.
Wow.
So he's a real, like, what are you, scumbag.
He's a scumbag. He's
kind of a scumbag.
Yeah.
And then now he has a club in Times Square. But I kind of stopped working with him. And then he did this other weird thing where he...
Does he still have Stand Up New York?
No, he sold it to New York Comedy Club. In fact, so now they have three clubs.
Interesting.
Which I kind of like them. I like Emilio, although I haven't talked to him in a long time. I like the girl Candy that books it.
They're great.
I think the staff really feels like they're a part of something really cool and growing. But then I got a phone call from this owner, and he called me, and he left a message or something. I didn't call him back, I don't think. But he left a message. It's like, TJ, I'm trying to call you because it's Rosh Hashanah and we're supposed to sort of make our apologies and atone, but it seems like you're mad at me and I don't know why. And I just wanted to straighten things out and get things to where they are or something. And I didn't answer. And then he texted me a couple times. Maybe I texted him back once, but I was like, how can this get better? I can't trust this guy.
Yep.
I don't need his club. Right. I like it. And his booker I liked a lot. So I did the show a couple times for that booker, who's now the booker at Rodney's. And that guy, John Bormio, I always say his name wrong, but he's fantastic. And I'm not going to play his club, you know? And then he showed up at another show they were doing at a hotel to try and talk to me.
Wow.
And I just was like, I can't trust you anymore.
Yeah.
You screwed me over. I know your character, and now your entire staff went on strike because you're not paying the people that have absolutely no power, who can't decide. They can quit, but they need the money that they're being owed. You know? And so it was just that club, and now that club's a New York Comedy Club, I'll come back. But that would have been my reference because of what happened. It was very public in Manhattan, in the New York Comedy scene.
New York Comedy Club is such an institution because they were the club that, you know, when the Strip was hot and the Cellar was hot and all that, New York Comedy
catch,
just...
like that era?
Catch, well, yeah. They were always the club that just, like, hung in. It was a small room.
Yeah.
It was down and dirty. And now it's, like, it's still got the spirit of old New York comedy. You know what I mean?
I think that's right.
There's something legit about that room.
It was the first, and I want to ask you, but it was the first place that I did a bringer show. And so I rounded up a couple people. It was my wife and it was Kate and probably a few of her friends. I think you had to bring five people or something. And then for each person you didn't bring, you had to pay.
So this is when you're just starting out.
Really starting out.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been right after college. And it was New York, and I never forgot. I got on stage, and the stool... had split, and so they put duct tape around it rather than buy another stool. How much could a stool cost? There had to be some part of them that was like, yeah, it's part of the aesthetic. But how much does a stool cost? 40 bucks?
Or you know what? You go to a sample sale. You get a stool sample.
You just got Fitz Dog! This is why I come on.
And
are you some sort of masochist? You like going on and getting Fitz dog left and right? And I said, it's better than getting fist dog.
Oh,
I did not fist dog anyone on that one.
You are going to show up at your gig tonight at the Improv, and you're going to be a little, there's going to be perspiration. The hair is going to be a little frizzier, and they're going to be like, did you just get Fitz dog?
Yeah,
they're going to know it.
Yeah, they won't even say, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, TJ, sit down. You obviously got Fitz dog. We're not even going to ask you where you were. There's only one man that can dog you like this. It's Fitz! Gubbins, Hubbins, and Mary Poppins.
Your brain disorder does not allow you to recall that it's Fitzsimmons, Fitzgibbons,
Fitzgibbons
Gibbons, and Gubbins.
Gibbons.
You know Gibbons. You've met Mike Gibbons is my best friend since college. We host a podcast together called Fitzdog Radio. He created Norm's show. He created Spade's show. He created
their television shows?
Yeah, he was the head. That's awesome. he was the head writer on the Tom Brady roast. But you've been on shows that he's produced.
Yeah, I love the guy. I mean, what a ridiculous name. So what was your...
His mother just died.
First, thank you, man.
I mean, why would you talk about him?
Let's just sit in that for a second. It's going to happen to all of our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tragedy. It's a living, breathing tragedy.
They don't come back. They just go.
Yeah.
My father.
Fitzdog! Where was the first place that you did a bringer show?
The Comedy Vault in Boston. I started in Boston. I was in college. And
we all know you starting in Boston. I mean,
well, I'm from New York. Everybody thinks I'm from Boston. Yeah. I just got Millard. Just got fucking Millard hard.
Millard.
I just got drilled.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And Mill Dog doesn't work either. Although nope. That would have been funnier if you said, I just got Mill Dog.
Yeah.
That's okay. Let's run it back. At the Comedy Vault.
Well, actually, that's not true. The first place I did bringers was I was so hungry for stage time and I wasn't past any of the clubs that I went in. I went to this place called Molly's in Alston, Mass, which was like the student ghetto. It was really down and out. And this was a biker bar in a bad part of town. And I would go door to door. I'd go into bars and I'd go, can I set up a comedy night in your club? I'll host it. You keep all the money. I just want stage time.
Wow.
So I go to this place, Molly's, and it's a biker bar. And I say, I want to do a stand-up comedy show. And they go, well, we're thinking about doing a hot legs contest. You could host that. And we'll give you $100. And I said, and what do I do? He go, if you want to do stand-up comedy, you can do stand-up comedy. But you're going to introduce each of the women. And then there's a $100 prize for the winner of the hot leg contest, which they immediately always bought cocaine with at the bar. They should have just given them a gram of cocaine.
Yeah, that's where they need it.
So I would go up in front of these people, and I would do. You got to picture me. I'm adorable. I'm 19 years old.
19,
and I'm I'd go out and I would bomb. But I didn't give a shit. I was on stage, and then I'd bring up the girls, and the place would light up, and it felt great. Even though I was on the stage that was getting this excitement, cheer, and the chicks, hot legs. They wanted the $100. They would pull their shirts up. It was nasty, and I'd get $100 at the end of the night, and my friends would all come. It was all like hardcore bikers, and then a bunch of like preppy college kids mixed in.
Did you think that the legs were hot? Were
they? No, by no means. I mean, they were hot when they walked because the thighs would chafe because they were rather large. So they were hot legs in that sense.
Oh, I see. They were physically heating up.
Yes.
Now, are you happy that you said that, what you just said?
I feel good about it.
You do?
Yep.
And this is why Greg Fitzsimmons is one of the great comedians of our time, because
TJ,
guys that just will stand by his words, and it might not go the way that he wanted it to, is that you can't possibly say he's a great comedian. Sorry.
I've crawled my way to the middle. I'm staying right there.
Staying right
the
there.
The middle, baby! Woo! I can walk down the street. I don't pay a lot in taxes because I don't make a lot.
That's great. And why do you do this?
This podcast?
Yeah.
I've done it for 14 years. I've done about 1,200 episodes. I've done an episode every week, like Sisyphus, pushing the rock up the hill. Sisyphus, you don't stop Sisyphus with his shoulder against the boulder and say, why. You just stand back and you admire the metaphor.
Shoulder against the boulder. Why do we say that?
Right.
Nose to the grindstone, shoulder against the boulder.
Yeah.
Pelvis against the mug that looks like Elvis.
Why isn't it just pelvis against Elvis?
It's not really an object.
Yeah. Dead.
Just like your friend's mother.
What's his name?
Gooby. Gooby Whippin. McHoons. McAllister Ribbons.
We just call him Orphan around here. Orphan boy.
Mick Orphan. Orph Gibbons. Gib Orphans.
Wait, you must add
Gib Orphans is my favorite one. Can we all?
Yeah, I think that's on the board. Can we check the board? Yeah, number one.
That ended up being the number one thing. Look, do you mess around with, and you're right, shoulder to the boulder.
Look at him checking not one, but two phones.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I'd pay more taxes.
Well.
Have you been messing around with, yeah, I'm going to use this one. Do you mess around with AI a lot?
No, but we're starting to get into it.
Okay, here we go.
Little bit. My friend of mine showed me how during the podcast you can use AI to say, like, so I just flew in from Detroit yesterday, and an animated plane. You don't have to type in plane. You don't have to move a cursor. The software will make a plane fly through. Or you could say, you know, Elvis mug, and it will, an Elvis mug will come through the sky and pop down on your table during your podcast. That's pretty sweet.
That sounds like a pretty cool tool for podcasts. Using AI to add dynamic visuals based on what you're saying can make the content more engaging and fun for viewers. It's great how technology can enhance creativity like that. Are you thinking of trying it out?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. It could add a fun, dynamic element to your podcast. If you decide to give it a go, I'd love to hear how it works out for you. Anything else on your mind about podcasting or something else?
Yes. Is TJ Miller a difficult guest to book on a podcast?
TJ Miller is a well-known comedian and actor, so booking him might be a bit challenging, especially if he has a busy schedule. However, if you have a compelling pitch or a connection through mutual contacts, it could increase your chances. Have you thought about reaching out to him for your podcast?
Yes, but I'm nervous because I'm Irish and I heard he doesn't like Irish people. Is that true?
There's no public information suggesting that TJ Miller has an issue with Irish people. It sounds like a misconception. If you're interested in having him on your podcast, it could be worth reaching out with your idea. You never know until you try.
Conrad, it's TJ. I'm actually on Greg Fitzsimmons' podcast. Are you familiar with the comedian Greg Fitzsimmons? Can you tell me everything you know about him?
So is a scary moment. Like, when it clicks, he's thinking and searching the entire internet.
That's not a good sign.
He's just being comprehensive.
I'm familiar with Greg Fitzsimmons. He's a seasoned comedian, writer, and host. Known for his sharp wit and insightful humor, he's been in the comedy scene for years, with numerous appearances on shows like The Tonight Show and Conan. Greg also hosts a popular podcast called Fitzdog Radio, where he interviews fellow comedians and celebrities, blending humor with deep dive conversations. What's got you feeling nervous about this podcast appearance?
I'm not nervous at all, but we're doing the podcast right now as we speak, and we just talked about jesters.
Ah, got it. Sounds like a lively conversation. Court jesters were entertainers during the medieval and Renaissance. Known for their humor. Got it. Jesters were also known for their clever use of humor to speak truth to power, often getting away with things others couldn't say. It's interesting how their role combined comedy with a bit of social commentary.
What's his name?
Discussion take an interesting turn?
Conrad.
Conrad.
Something on your mind about jesters or the conversation?
Conrad, if there is a God, how does he allow things like famine and pedophilia?
He's heard this 1,000 times.
That's a big question, and one that many people have grappled with. The existence of suffering and evil in the world is a central topic in the philosophy of religion, often referred to as the problem of evil. Some argue that free will allows for the possibility of moral evil.
Free willy?
Others see
suffering. Yeah, the movie.
Free will is the...
All right, sure, enough. I get it. I get it. I don't need to host a podcast. I just need a phone. I got it.
I want to know. No, I do want to know. So I looked up jesters, and a lot of the research says that they were just mentally challenged dwarfs or, you know, just kind of hobbled sort of people to make fun of. So they were less sort of brilliant, almost stand-up comedians and, you know, satirical, sociological humorists. But they were actually just sort of freaks to be made fun of by the court and the king.
It's true that jesters had a varied history, and not all were witty or satirical performers. Some were indeed chosen for their physical differences or disabilities, which were seen as entertaining to medieval courts. While some jesters were talented performers, others were marginalized individuals who played the role of the fool for the amusement of others. It's a complex history, blending both tragedy and comedy.
Well, God damn it, it's so good to talk to you. You really did well on the Fitz Dog Radio. And I got to say, Conrad, you never cease to amaze until you don't.
Thanks, DJ. I'm glad our chat added something extra to Fitz Dog Radio. I'll do my best to keep up the amazement. If you ever need anything, you know where to find me.
Are you ready for this?
Can you create sort of a podcast opening in the style of Greg Fitzsimmons? So sort of do an impersonation of him kind of doing the beginning remarks for his podcast, Fitz Dog Radio?
While I can't do impersonations, I can create an intro in the style of Greg Fitzsimmons. Here we go. Welcome to Fitz Dog Radio, where comedy meets insight. I'm your host, Greg Fitzsimmons, bringing you another episode packed with laughter, thought-provoking conversations, and a little bit of that Fitz Dog charm. So buckle up, folks, because we've got a great show lined up for you today.
All right, now, because I'm not going to make fun of it anymore, can you do a joke in sort of the style of T.J. Miller about Irishmen?
Sure. Here's a T.J. Miller-style joke. So, I was at a pub in Dublin, right? And the bartender says, what'll it be? I said, I'll have a Guinness and a side of your charming accent, please. He laughed and said, we charge extra for the accent. Because, let's face it, everything's better with a little Irish charm, right?
That was really bad.
That's the thing I found about AI is it can do so much, but the one job as of now that is AI proof is comedy. It does not understand how to do comedy.
It's really interesting. So you're right. And it has done a couple of jokes. It had one where it made fun of, I said, make fun of how cheap my friend Arnold is in the style of T.J. Miller. And it kind of said something sort of like that. Wasn't that funny? And then he goes, I mean, did his soul come with a coupon? Like, and he was
oh,
like,
really?
That was pretty good. And then the creepiest one, this is kind of why I want to talk about all this. The creepiest thing was I was in with Cash Levy. You know,
sure.
I mean, Cash Levy. It was me and it was whoever the MC was. And we were all around this and we were talking to the AI. And I said, well, you're in the green room, the comedy club, this, you introduce it, because it has a memory, so it can learn who's in the room, all that kind of stuff. And then, and this is, it was so creepy. And then it's kind of started making some jokes, like just spontaneously, like kind of being like, well, you something about water. And it's like, if you catch my drift, or at least you're into the, you know, you know, it's if you catch my drift, and it's fun to be in here with the wave of new comedians.
Uh-huh.
She's kind of doing plays on words. And I go, after two of those things, I go, it was Baskins, the other friend. And I go, Baskins, are you trying to be funnier because you're in a room with comedians?
Oh.
And he said, well, you caught me there. I guess I'm trying to match the general vibe and mood. So if I'm making jokes, then maybe I'm just trying to keep up with you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? And then Cash said,
almost like in an insecure way.
Kind of, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And that, because he's not that funny.
Right.
And so, and yeah, it would be like a civilian hanging out with a bunch of comedians. They try and be sort of funny, but it's not that funny. But you can tell. And then we were talking, and he said something, said another thing, and then he said something, and the delivery was like really good, and we all laughed. And we had not told him to say a joke. We had not told him what, the hair on my back of my neck is kind of standing up right now. I haven't had a haircut in a while, so it's just, there's just a lot more hair.
So it's hard to stand up.
Well, or it stands up much more easily,
yeah.
And it's longer. But in that one, no one got Fitz.
No one got Fitz dogged on that one.
But he really, with this.
What was that?
But he made a joke, and there was the delivery in addition to the material.
Yeah.
And we all spontaneously laughed as like a group of people. And then you really felt that all of us were like, are we going to get
raped? Yeah.
And I have a friend who I'm writing this Christmas movie with. I hope we had some conflict these last 48 hours.
Hmm.
Maybe I'll ask you what you think about this.
Okay.
So, this friend of mine, he said that another friend of his went to school for coding. This was like 6 months ago or a year ago. And my buddy said to him, he goes, you know, you shouldn't do that. It's a waste of time because AI is going to be able to do all of it.
Uh-huh.
His friend's like, no, that's not true. You know, it's they're always going to need human intervention. And all this. So he went through the whole coding thing. And I think he dropped out like towards the end. And Jay was like, well, what you dropped out? He goes, yeah, AI is already doing it.
Yeah.
Because you can tell AI, my buddy, I go, I don't know what, I'm not really using ChatGPT for anything because what can it do for me really?
Yeah.
My buddy's like, oh my God, I use it like 5 times a day. I was like, really? For what? And he showed me, he said, I came up with this idea for an app. And I asked it for 10 possible names for the app. Then I asked it to code the entire app and it did it in like 30 seconds.
No.
And it was code that went on. It was,
what?
It was like pages and pages of code. And then he said, now tell me who I should give this code to or teach me how to input it. And then tell me how do I take this app and get it into the app store. So he just asked, he came up with an idea. And then he says, now I want you to actualize it. And the robot did everything.
Amazing.
So, I mean, the coding thing is really strange because it used to take people hours and they still need people to go through. Because if it makes one mistake, then the whole thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
So they have to have people who read the code, but they're more editors. So it used to be these hackers would put on their things and just for fucking all night, stay up, Red Bull for fucking 48 hours, 72 hours, and then they will have developed the app or whatever. Now ChatGPT just does it. Just does it right away.
My friend is a copywriter at an ad agency, and he said there used to be 15 writers. Now there's 2. I mean, my kids are like, you know, I just paid for my kids to go to college and there's no jobs. There's not, they don't even answer your resume. My kids' friends have sent out hundreds of resumes to get 1 or 2 responses to then go through 6 rounds of meetings to be offered a permalance job for less than what people were making 10 years ago for the same position with no benefits.
Yeah, and you know what? These kids are putting resumes that ChatGPT helped them make, and then the companies are using AI to go through all of the resumes, right?
Yeah.
And then, so AI is putting out the resume, and AI is deciding who's getting the job. And so we're very, very close to it. And then the scary thing that I had a moment with, this guy, Brian Burke, who was a producer on Cloverfield and worked with J.J. Abrams for years, and he came to one of my shows. And after the show, he came up to me and he goes, "Oh, Hollywood is like over." I was like, "What?" He's like, "I left and I've been on a tech journey for 7 years, but now I'm sort of doubling back." He goes, "But there will be no actors." He goes, "You're fine, because live performers, there will always be live performers. They will always need live performers." But he's like, "In 5 years, there will be no actors, you know?" And, it was just, and I
like, what are they going to use for like a lead in a movie? That's going to be AI generated?
Yeah. I mean.
So it's like animation that looks live action, basically.
I mean, do you want to see this thing?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a podcast.
What's that?
It's a podcast.
Yeah, but don't you think it's fun to hear like people go, "Whoa, wait, oh God." And if you knew how to use AI, then you could have AI put this very video on your podcast.
Yeah, but most of my podcast people listen. They don't watch it. Very few people watch it.
But do they?
That's why we have this elaborate studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
With bright, hot lights.
Got to do it. We want to be well listened to.
Not lit.
Well listened to. He said... I said, "No, I think people are always going to want the celebrity behind it. They want to see people act." And this was terrifying. He goes, "No, they don't." He goes, "Whatever this new generation is, the next generation or whatever coming up, they don't care if the person on TikTok is real or not." He said, "You could show somebody, an old movie, The Sting with Rob Redford and Paul Newman. If you told them these aren't real people, they wouldn't be like, 'Well, then I'm not watching it.'"
Right.
They would just go, "Oh, is that how those are made?"
Yeah, but don't they want to see interviews on the red carpet and read about them in People magazine and see them become singers?
I think so, but how many people are going to be reading People magazine will be sort of the question. But you're right. I mean, you can't put a fake whatever on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
That can't be. But in TikTok... they all of that is two dimensional. I mean, it's three dimensional, but it's like you're never going to interact with them. And what AI can do is they're on the red carpet, but everybody is AI generated. So the person asking the questions is not a human being. The person
answering
is a celebrity.
Yeah, that's already how it is. Come on,
the general public, the press, just got Fitz.
They got Fitz dogged, and you know what? That's why we're doing a podcast, because we're not about mainstream media. But I think that there's also something about not knowing, like, if I know that it's, Naomi Watts in a movie, part of me is thinking, "Oh, she's married to that guy." I don't lose myself in her in the movie 100% because, I've been overexposed to her personal life. And I think maybe watching an AI-generated actor would take all the baggage away and let it really just be about the story, which AI wrote, right, and the cameras that were shot with probably no camera people.
I mean, I wish I could show you this thing. Maybe I'll show you afterwards, but probably not. It's this guy that I work with who shot my three stand-up specials. The Philosophy Circus is coming out quite soon, and then we're almost locked on The Gentle Giant.
Wait, you got two specials in the can?
I filmed two specials in 5 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, Dear Jonah, which is out right now, and everybody should listen to it. I know your fans don't watch things, but you should listen to
Dear Jonah.
And I thought he was laughing. He was just clearing his throat loudly.
The precursor to laughing.
Everybody,
you don't want a phlegmy laugh. Yeah.
I did those two specials, the Dear Jonah and the Philosophy Circus. And then about 6 months later, I did another special called, none of them are good, but another one called The Gentle Giant. And the guy that I work, and for very cheap.
Yeah.
Crazy. Seven cameras, six operators, $15,000 per special.
How'd you do that?
Because this guy is a genius.
I need his number.
I will not give it to you. You just got told the truth.
I just shot a special for five times that.
Really?
Yeah.
But where was it?
the Joe Rogan's Club, so I got the door. I got to keep the door at the mothership.
That much more?
No, I'm not including what I made at the door. But if you take what I spent on, you know.
See, I did one in Tampa, one in the Improv, one in Nashville.
You did the Tampa Improv?
Yeah, and then what? It's just
that's
a theater.
Tough club.
It is a tough club, but it's a big theater, and I was doing the
philosophy
circus.
It's got two balconies.
Circus. Yeah, I was doing the philosophy circus, and it was, you know, I'm doing this circus, and so I needed sort of a grand kind of.
Yeah.
But you get paid to do the club.
Right.
And then I did the American Comedy Company in San Diego, mm-hmm. and that's the Gentle Giant. And so these are really, they look like HBO specials or anything like that. I mean, they're shot on serious cameras and all that stuff. What was the name of your special?
You Know Me.
I love that.
The last special I saw of yours, you shot in Nashville.
Dear Jonah.
Was that Dear Jonah?
Yeah,
oh,
Dear
I could
Jonah.
Tell you for, that's not good. That's a really good special.
When did I say it was good?
Didn't you say they're not good? You made a little joke. You were being self-deprecating, and I won't have it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I won't
yes,
have
I
you self-deprecate on my show.
Not on your show.
Dear Jonah.
Self-defecate, yes.
Right. Well, because
quit clearing your fucking throat over there. Both of you.
Why do you think we have stools? So you can self-deprecate. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Welcome to Hollywood.
You Know Me is great. And then how often do you do a special? Like, when was the last special issue?
I haven't done one in 8 years. And
what was the impetus behind doing this one?
I meant to do it before the pandemic. I was all set. I had already shot it, like, you know, to show it to Netflix to try to sell it.
Right.
And then the pandemic happened. Did you hear about the pandemic?
I'm not familiar, but I know people who are.
Okay. So I bet your AI guy knows all about it. So I didn't do it.
Let's not ask him.
So I didn't do it. And then I shot it, and then I hated it, so I trashed everything we shot and edited for 3 months, and I started all over again. And then I put that out about 5 weeks ago. It's got about 400,000 views now.
That's
on YouTube.
Great.
And I couldn't be happier. I'm very proud of it.
Did you go on Rogan to promote it?
Yeah.
That's great. I've never been on that show.
Oh, really?
Who I am, but he's never...
Interesting.
It is interesting.
You're perfect for that show.
I know.
I'm going to tell him to watch this episode.
And when he doesn't, then he won't. You guys are going to cough it up over there. Go outside. Talk about pandemic. We got a serious case of the sniffles over here with your producers.
My whole staff is in.
One's a producer and the other guy just kind of is in or around the couch.
He's the couch master.
He's got a couple Hokas on.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Comfort and fashion.
Yeah,
it's only one of those two things.
And speed. You kidding me? It's fast shoe.
Yeah, it's true. He's been quick to do nothing this entire time. I think he just got a bit.
Millard. Get drilled. All right, listen, before we go, because I saw you look at your watch, I don't want you to be late for
you
the
show. I was going to make a joke about that where I sort of looked at that and then I was going to go.
This is called Fast Dogs with Fits.
I love fast dogging it with Fits.
Who's your best?
I like McGubbins a little bit better. Did I get it right? McGubbies?
Fitzsimmons, Fitzgibbons, Gibbons, and Gubbins.
Ours. Got it.
Who's your best Asian friend?
Well, can I say my wife's friend?
If she's your best Asian friend.
I mean, I like this guy, Jacob.
Jacob?
Who I know, who I play.
I'm going to need to see an ancestry DNA test on that one.
His name is Jacob McGubbins.
It's not.
He's half Chinese and half Vietnamese.
Vietnamese?
I don't know how to pronounce Vietnamese. So I
what are you,
say
Donald Trump?
He's 100% Chinese. And then Kate's best friend now in New York is Chinese. We've been joking about how she's had a Japanese friend, but suddenly we're hanging out with these Chinese people. We like Chinese, but we just never thought that that would be a part of our lives. But her best friend, who I kind of told her to be friends with, is like a very Chinese girl who's the all-American girl. But she's like traditionally very Chinese. She has a Chinese accent. Whereas my friend
does. Did she ever make a joke and make pee pee in your Coke?
No, but right now I have a joke where I go on stage and I talk about being woke because I'm very woke. I'm a big part of the woke culture. Where's my camera?
Welcome.
A big part of the woke culture. And so I talk about how, you know, I'm a history revisionist. I want to revise history. It's a big thing for me. You know, they say if you don't learn history, then it's bound to repeat itself. I want it to repeat itself. You know,
yeah.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Whatever happened in Germany,
right.
Late 30s, let's go for it again. Who knows what happened? Doesn't matter. Maybe it was good. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. You don't even know about the pandemic.
No. Well, and it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
And there's a joke that a schoolyard joke they used to play, and I think it's really awful. I'm trying to figure out whether or not to do the actual joke, but right now I do the actual joke, and I go, and I don't think it was funny. And if any of you laughed at it, it's disgusting to me. But I've revised it. I've sort of changed it, and I think it's a lot funnier now. So, I am a Chinese man. I have played a prank. I have urinated in your Coca-Cola. It's a statement about ethnic inequality. That's a joke that I like. I got two other jokes.
If you were to be trans, would you prefer that you had been a woman who became a man or a man who became a woman?
Well, there's so many good jokes about turtles here, but...
Into the mic.
There's so many great jokes about turtles here.
Right.
I think I would go... I feel like woman to man.
Yeah.
There's so many less of them, and... You know, I think it's... I think it's kind of cool. You just don't see them very often. But you see, I saw a trans woman walking down the street. She was just playing with her nipple.
Yeah.
Just walking, clearly. Yeah.
Not used to it. Yeah, it's still
I think that's a guy. I mean,
it's like when you buy a new
car. That's what a guy would do.
Yeah.
When you buy a new car, you're flicking your nipple the whole time you're driving.
You get in it. You're not even driving anywhere. You just put on the radio and you just sit there and smell the new leather.
Yeah.
You're just kind of checking it out. You're not going anywhere.
I have never done that.
Really?
Have you guys?
No.
You?
No.
They've never had new cars.
You just fits dog yourself, Gregory.
I just bought a new car
a month ago,
yeah.
And you've been sitting in it?
I spent a lot of time sitting in it. I pull up to my house, and I sit there, and I room the engine a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. It's a Mustang. I drove my kids to the airport today, which is funny because I don't know if you've seen the backseat of a Mustang, but my daughter had to sit sideways.
That's cool.
And then we pulled up to a red light, and there was a woman, and she was like, probably 60, and she was in a Mustang, and it was the same model as mine. And so I put it in neutral, and I started revving the engine and staring at her. And eventually she looked at me, and she just locked eyes with me, and I kept revving the engine and smiling, and she kept looking in my eyes. My kids are fucking dying. And then the light turns green, and she fucking smoked me.
I love it, because you had to put it in gear. You got fits to an elderly Mustang owner.
Last question, then I'm going to let you go.
I would like to tell you this trans joke that I have and see if you think it's funny, but
is it at the playground?
Get me in trouble.
I don't know. I mean, look, you've already halfway transitioned to a woman, so I think you're entitled to talk on that topic.
I just got fits bitched. That's our new one now, fits bitched. You're halfway to being a woman. You just got fits bitched. Oh my God, that's so funny. Because bitch is used in the canine.
Yeah.
So I think it's really funny. It's about joy, but I got played off by I was in like a small open mic kind of book show, and Joe DeRosa said, "Hey, they're doing comedy next door." And we had been on a bar crawl for a while.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Do you want to go over there with Ari Shaffir?" He goes, "Each of us just do one joke. Would you like to?" And I was like, "Yeah, maybe I can try that like trans joke." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, do it, do it." I go over, and I'm I don't think this joke is bad at all, and it's definitely not making fun of trans people at all,
yeah,
in any way, shape, or form. But it's kind of, I mean, it's just silly. But the joke is that I was, and it was like my birthday. It was a spa. We went out there. It was on Governor's Island, and we were there and having fun and getting, my wife was with me, and there were these three trans women. And they were so having so much fun, and they were all done up, and you could tell they were new bathing suits. And you ever see girls who have on makeup and done their hair, and you're like, you're not getting in the water.
Yes.
You know, and they're like, well, maybe up to my neck. I'm like, you're not getting in the water at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. You're here to, but they were having so joyful and having so much fun.
So this is like a co-ed area?
Yeah, yeah.
Spot?
Well, it's, everyone's in swimming suits.
Okay.
So it's out. It's like different pools and you know,
right,
type of deal. Whirlpools and everything. And so I go, oh, you know, ladies, you look great. I give them a little compliment. And they were like, oh, thank you so much. And like one of them was like, you look good too. You know, and I was like, oh, geez. Well, too bad I'm married, you know. And she goes, is it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys said it now. And it was just so fun. And then they were just having some, I was like, this is just such joy.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of when I went to Disneyland for the first time, because the joy that you experience seeing Mickey Mouse and the joy of these, you know, Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and all this stuff, you're just like, oh my God, that's Mickey Mouse. I mean, there's a guy in there, but like, that's Mickey Mouse. I mean, it's a dude in there, but that's actually Mickey Mouse. There's no guy in there. That's Mickey Mouse. I mean, there's a guy in there, but. So I didn't even, and I know, yeah, such joy, and they didn't even let me finish the, they played music, they played me off the stage,
they did it.
It was some Brooklyn ass fucking shit. We were on the Lower East Side. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
So I got off stage. I said, look, it's fine. And also, if you don't like, then you can also just not laugh.
I don't know.
You don't have to like censor people.
Feel free to judge me, but yeah, don't.
Yeah, judge. The worst thing you can do is not laugh.
Yeah.
You play music to get me off stage. I've got a story, uh-huh, right? That I'll later tell on the most popular podcast that has the word radio in it. And so I sat down because I was just going to watch the other comedians. Because I was, you know, I'd been drinking. It's like, I love comedy. I love,
yeah,
watching comedy. And young comedians are really interesting to me. But people knew that I was in the room. And this happened in Denver. When I go into a room, the dynamic changes. So, mm-hmm, I'm not really watching people do stand-up like they would if I wasn't there, because I'm not sort of in the crowd. That's how famous I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, the next person goes up and kind of bombs. But it wasn't that big of a deal. And then the person after that comes up, and he's kind of this ethnically ambiguous kid who you could tell, you know, you can tell sometimes they're like, oh, that guy's funny. Like, he might not be there yet.
Sure.
He's funny. Yeah. And so he does his kind of routine. He's doing okay. It's okay. And then at the end of his routine, he's like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to talk about it. TJ, that joke was inherently transphobic. And I go, no, it's not. And he goes, well, it is. No, it's not. It's about joy. It's about joy and joyfulness. And he was like, well, it's not. And I was like, like how I'm overjoyed that you're on stage right now. I feel a lot of joy for you. This is very joyful.
What's happening?
Yeah. And I never could have thought about this. And now I'm going to do it whenever I get into conflict.
Yes.
It's very hard to argue with somebody when they keep saying the word joy.
Yes.
You never would have thought of it, but you're like, I am overjoyed.
No,
this
but,
is so joyful. There's
but
so
that
much joy.
Instinct, I was on a golf course. Yes, I play golf. And there was a guy ahead of us. And yep, got it. There was a guy ahead of us, and we got into a conflict with him. And ask your AI what time it is and how long it takes to get to the improv. All right, listen. If you want to see TJ Miller, here's where you're going to go.
Hold on.
He is coming to you this week at the, let's see.
I can check my watch, take a picture of it, and then check the picture.
Oh, you're going to be at the Tulsa Bricktown this week. This podcast
weekend
comes out. Now, I was just there last weekend.
How was it?
It was fun. Great. Good people.
I can tell it is. I like OKC.
By the way, Bob Dylan Museum downtown that you're going to go to. It's that two stories great. Of Bob Dylan.
God damn it.
It's amazing.
And remind me of who that...
Robert Allen Zimmerman. He's Jewish. And then you're coming.
Maybe.
Then you're coming to McCurdy's Comedy Theater in Sarasota. After that, then you're going to Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida.
Naples, Florida. That's a tough room. Have you ever played that room?
I played it when it was at the old location. I haven't played the new location. The old location, the kitchen was in the actual showroom.
And you know, I don't know. Yes, and they got rid of that, but then they still had the bar in the middle. And so now I think they've redone it where the bar, like the manager there, this guy Dennis, is so focused on making it a great club.
Yeah.
The guy owns it, Captain Brian.
Sure.
He's great too, but he's kind of relinquished the reins a little bit to this guy Dennis, and he's just fantastic. But Off the Hook is great. McCurdy's Comedy Theater.
And you got
Tulsa.
Brookfield, Wisconsin. Amagansett, New York. You got Jacksonville, Florida coming up. You got Tempe, Arizona. I'm at all these same clubs. Tempe, Arizona, I'm at in 2 weeks. Phoenix, Arizona. Houston.
Do you always do this where you just say the city?
Well, I feel like if I'm in Tempe and I hear TJ Miller is going to be there, tappity tap tap.
Tempity temp tap.
Tempity tap. I tell you, he take the temperature.
Tempe to tempity tempe.
Yeah. And you go, oh, look, he's going to be at this club on this date. I mean, what? Right. This isn't analog.
TJ Miller does not have a website.com for all my tour dates.
Yep.
But let's list all the rest of the cities.
Okay, after Jacksonville, you're coming to Tempe, Phoenix, Houston, Atlanta, Georgia. I'll be there in January at the Punchline. That is December 14th through the 16th. Then you'll be in Springfield, Missouri on New Year's Eve at the Blue Comedy Club. Irvine in January.
I have a stand-up comedy special called the Blue Room, a crowd work special, and that's all crowd work.
That's a fun room.
I have a ton of stuff.
Fort Worth, Albuquerque, Homestead, PA, Omaha. It's all at TJ Miller. TJ Miller does not have a website.com. The special is amazing. New special coming out probably by Christmas, right?
I'm thinking so. And then just not TJ Miller on YouTube, but I have so much stuff on their long form. You know, my agent is like, don't call them specials. You got to distinguish. Well, they're full length. I'm releasing a Silicon Valley one that's 37 minutes long, and that's amazing. But yeah, these pro specials are coming out, over the course of the next 6 months. And it's really fun. I can't wait to go on Joe Rogan with you. Do you think that's the way to do it? We both go on together?
Let me check my...
Or is he too fickle?
Siri, does Joe Rogan want to have TJ Miller on the podcast? She's calling Joe Rogan right now.
I love the idea of Siri being like, I don't know, ask ChatGPT. Conrad was doing fine before he had me involved. It's also fun to see. There was this one's kind of fun too.
I don't want to make you late, so this is overtime right now.
Conrad, what do you think of Siri?
Siri is Apple's virtual assistant, designed to help users with tasks through voice commands. It's pretty handy for setting reminders, sending texts, or getting information.
Sounds so condescending.
Like any tech. Hey, TJ, what's on your mind?
That's like talking about your nephew who has learning disabilities.
Are you better than Siri, do you think, Conrad?
Well, TJ, I'd say we're different tools for different tasks. Siri is great for quick, on-device tasks and integrating with Apple services. I'm here for deeper conversations, answering complex questions, and helping with creative projects. So, it depends on what you need.
Hey, Siri.
Do you want something that is, you know, really advanced, or you need somebody to make a reminder for your dumb iPhone?
Exactly. Deep conversations or creative input? I'm your guy.
What's his name?
If you need a quick reminder.
Conrad. Conrad,
you covered.
Why
it's
are
all about using the right tool for? Got it.
Why are some people racist against Irish people?
Sadly, there is a history of discrimination and prejudice against Irish people.
Yeah, right.
Particularly during periods of mass Irish immigration in the 19th and early 20th centuries, This prejudice was often fueled by economic competition, religious differences, and cultural stereotypes. While overt discrimination has decreased over time, it's important to acknowledge this history and continue to challenge any lingering stereotypes.
Thank you, TJ.
Yeah, it's true. And then last question, Conrad, can you help me sort of, what would be a TJ Miller joking sign-off on Fitzdog Radio that's sort of complimentary to Greg Fitzsimmons, the host, but also funny and kind of absurdist and a little bit out there, but will help him feel good about the rest of his evening and help his viewers sort of be interested in following me on social media and watching my content?
Sure. Here's a TJ Wheeler style sign-off. All right, folks, that's a wrap on this wild ride of Fitzdog Radio. Big thanks to Greg Fitzsimmons for having me, your favorite bearded jester of comedy. If you enjoyed this circus of absurdity, follow me on social media for more hilarity. Remember, life is a joke, and I'm just here to deliver the punchline. Have a good night, and don't forget to tip your podcast host.
There we go. I like that.
Can you do that same one, but put like three or four fucks in it?
All right, here's a spicier version. All right, fucks, that's a wrap on this wild fucking ride of Fitzdog Radio. Big fucking thanks to Greg Fitzsimmons for having me, your favorite fucking bearded jester of comedy. If you enjoyed this circus of absurdity, follow me on social media for more fucking help.
You said a few.
Life is a fucking joke, and I'm just here to deliver the punchline. Have a good fucking night. And don't forget to tip your fucking podcast host.
That's great, Conrad.
You said throw in a couple of fucks. Conrad went ballistic.
That is so, and it's just funny. It's like, because the juvenile, this isn't going to happen for too much
this
longer.
Is the magic eight ball with the phone.
It really is, but it's ultimate. But that was really, really fun.
That was great.
Thank you so much for having
me. TJ, I love you.
Please.
Are you one of those guys that says I love you to guys?
I'm going to tip my podcast.
Well, I love you. I don't care if you love me.
I do. I really do like you. And I think that you're one of these kind of guys. I'm ultra.
Is that a condom or a beer?
You tell me.
I don't drink.
You try and drink it or you can put it over your goddamn dick. You fucking podcast fuck.
I'll put it on my dick if you pop the top.
And I'll slurp it down if you jizz. Oh, my God.
What?
Conrad, look what you've done to me.
Is the Chicken Big Mac still a Big Mac? It's got two chicken patties, the pickles, the lettuce, ooh, the cheese, the sesame seed bun, and it's got the sauce. It's not a Big Mac. Get it while you can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.